Last week on part one of this episode, we covered the first 7 steps to buying a home. In this episode, we'll be completing the 14-step guide by covering the final 7 steps to buying a home in the United States. Again, if you'd like to follow along with this episode, you can now find the part 2 PDF that contains all the info from today's episode on my website, latinamericaneo.org. Look for the resources tab next to support and click the square titled A Complete Guide to Buying a House in the United States, Part 2. I also included a link to a closing checklist that I think would be really beneficial to look at so you don't forget anything during the closing process. So let's get started. I'm Kevin Munoz, this is the Leo Podcast, and today is Monday, March 8th. In this episode, we'll be covering steps 8 through 14 of the guide. Number 8 being determining your priorities. Number 9 is start house hunting. Number 10, make a smart offer. 11, get a home inspection. Number 12, shop for homeowners insurance. Number 13, make sure the home is appraised. And finally, step 14, which is closing on your new home. So let's start off with step 8, which is determining your priorities. Once you have determined how much you can afford to spend on a home and found the right agent to help you through the process, you should start to talk to your agent about what your ideal home looks like. During this time, you should consider the location. Which neighborhoods would you prefer to live in? The type of home. Would you like a single family house, a multifamily house, a townhouse, a condo, or other? The lot. How much land, if any, are you looking for? The size. What is your ideal square footage? The bedrooms and the bathrooms. How many bedrooms do you require? Does every bedroom need its own bathroom? The age and condition. Are you willing to do work on the home? As you begin to look at listings, you'll most likely notice that your perfect home is not available on the market or in your budget. That's to be expected. After all, it is your ideal home. That's why it's vital that you figure out what your priorities are now before you get deeper into your house search. Number 9 is start house hunting. After you've settled on your priorities and clearly communicated them to your real estate agent, it's time to start house hunting. As you browse the listings your real estate agent sends you or that you found yourself, keep your priorities at the back of your mind. Remember, it is highly unlikely that any listings will perfectly match your dream home, so try not to be too picky until you see the listings in person. When going to see each listing, reflect on the neighborhood that the home is in, as well as the home itself. Before every tour or open house, drive around the area. Consider what your commute would be like. Research the schools your kids would go to and figure out how long it would take them to get there. Find out where the closest grocery store and pharmacy is located. Overall, make sure that the area fits your everyday habits. If the home seems to check all the boxes, it's time to start thinking about the condition. Keep an eye out for these potential red flags: plumbing and electrical issues, poor insulation or problems with the HVAC system, issues with the foundation, like slanted floors or significant cracks in the walls, visible water damage on ceilings or walls, chimneys or gas furnaces that need to be repaired or replaced, the presence of radon, asbestos, lead paint, or carbon monoxide. Although a house in poorer conditions may seem like a steal, remember that you're the one who will be left to make those repairs. Even homes with outdated appliances can be a nuisance because you're the one who will have to pay to replace them ultimately. So try to be as realistic as possible as you view each house by thoughtfully considering what you're willing to live with and what your budget can cover. The 10th step is to make a smart offer. When you find the right place, ask your real estate agent to run a comparative market analysis to determine what a fair price would be based on recent sales of similar homes in the area. The less interest there is and the longer the house has been sitting on the market, the more power you'll have to negotiate. Beyond the price that you plan to offer, you should also speak to your real estate agent about whether it makes sense to include any contingencies in your offer. A contingency is a stipulation included in an offer which states that if a particular condition is not met, the buyer is free to break the contract without any repercussions. Although sellers often balk at offers made with contingencies, there are some contingencies worth making regardless of the seller's feelings about them, especially if you are negotiating from a position of power. A mortgage contingency. If your ability to afford the home is dependent on your ability to obtain a loan, you must include a mortgage contingency in your offer. This contingency will make it possible for you to back out of your offer if for any reason you're unable to receive financing. Even if you've been pre-approved for a loan, you should still write this contingency into your offer. If you don't, you'll find that you're still on the hook for the purchasing price regardless of whether you've obtained any funds. The other is inspection contingencies. After you make an offer, you'll want to get the home inspected to make sure you have a full understanding of the home's conditions. It's in your best interest to ensure that the seller is willing to do any work necessary before closing or take the respective cost out of the purchasing price. With an inspection contingency, you'll be able to not only renegotiate the offer based on any necessary repairs, but also break the agreement if the home needs more work than you can handle. The decision to include any contingencies in your offer should be made on the transaction and your financial circumstances. If you're in the middle of a bidding war, your agent will probably dissuade you from including any, as sellers are less likely to choose offers that require them. However, if there are no other offers on the table, it is worth the try. Contingencies can always be removed during the negotiation process. Along with your offer, you'll also be required to provide an earnest money deposit, also known as an escrow deposit. This deposit is money that you provide upfront to show the seller that you're serious about the offer, so the seller feels comfortable taking the home off the market. The amount of money included in the deposit can be negotiable. However, an earnest money deposit is typically 1 to 3% of the purchasing price. The money is held in an escrow account and applied to your down payment and closing costs at closing. If you change your mind and decide that you won't buy the home for any reason that is not specified in a contingency, the seller gets to keep your earnest money deposit. That's why it's vital that you consider the conditions in which you may need to pull out of the contract before you make an offer. Including a contingency in your offer can be the difference between keeping and losing your earnest money. The 11th step is getting a home inspection. After your offer is accepted, you should arrange for a home inspection to be completed. You'll want to hire a professional, third-party home inspector to examine the home you're preparing to buy. The home inspection is a crucial step as it will identify areas where major repairs or renovations require immediate attention, as well as any work that needs to be completed in the future. If significant repairs are needed, you can request that the seller complete them before closing. If the seller declines to handle the repairs and an agreement can't be reached, you may be able to withdraw your offer. However, if you've included an inspection contingency in your contract, you'll be able to guarantee that either repairs are made, the cost is deducted from the purchase price, or the contract is broken and your earnest money is returned. The 12th step is to shop for homeowners insurance. Homeowners insurance will help pay for damage to your property if something unexpected happens, like a fire or a burglary. You can use the insurance suggested by your lender or shop for your own. You can try one of the major brands like Geico, Progressive, or State Farm. The 13th step is to make sure that the home is appraised. If you're getting a mortgage to purchase your home, your lender will require the home to be appraised before they agree to release your funds. A home appraisal provides an estimate of how much a home is actually worth based on comparable sales in the area, market trends, public records, and a comprehensive inspection of the property. Generally speaking, home appraisals help you ensure that the purchasing price of the home is in line with the home's true value. Therefore, these home valuations are a protective measure for lenders. By insisting that a home be appraised before money is lent, lenders can make sure that they're not lending more money than the house is worth. Whenever a buyer obtains a loan to purchase a house, the house itself is used as collateral. If the buyer is unable to keep up with monthly mortgage payments and defaults on the loan, the buyer would go into foreclosure and the lender would sell the loan to recover the money lent. However, if a lender didn't require a home appraisal and mistakenly provided the buyer with more money than the home was worth, the lender would be at risk. If the buyer defaulted on the loan and the lender had to sell the house, it's likely that the lender would not be able to recoup all the money that was initially lent. So when you get the home appraised, keep in mind that the lender would only provide funds to cover the appraised value of the house. If the appraisal comes in below the purchasing price, you'll have to either renegotiate price or come up with the difference, which is one of the many reasons having a mortgage contingency or appraisal contingency is in your best interest. The 14th and final step in this guide is to finally close on your new home. Before closing, walk through the property with your real estate agent and make sure that everything is in order. If the seller agreed to make any repairs, the walkthrough is the time to ensure that the seller has actually completed them. Then, review your closing disclosure. It will outline the terms, the final closing costs, and any outstanding charges or fees included in your loan. Your lender will send a disclosure to you at least 3 days before closing. During closing, the property title will pass from the seller to you. A closing agent will oversee this process, which typically takes place at a title company, management firm, escrow office, or even your home. The closing agent will ensure that all necessary parties are present at closing. The agent acts as a mediator between you and the seller and confirms that all required documents are signed. Once documents have been signed, the agent will ensure that all funds, including closing fees and escrow payments, are paid and properly disbursed. During closing, you have two major responsibilities: signing legal documents. This includes the closing disclosure, promissory note, deed of trust, and a certificate of occupancy. The other is paying closing costs. This may include fees for your mortgage application, appraisal, survey, title search, and funds to establish an escrow account. An escrow account is used to pay for property taxes and insurance premiums. Now let's review the key takeaways for today's episode. The eighth step that we started with is determining your priorities. As you begin to look at listings, you'll most likely notice that your perfect home isn't available on the market or in your budget. That's to be expected. After all, it is your ideal home. That's why it's vital that you figure out what your priorities are now before you go deeper into your house search. The ninth step is to start house hunting. Before every tour or open house, drive around the area. Consider what your commute would look like, research the schools your kids would go to, and figure out how long it would take them to get there. Find out where the closest grocery store and pharmacy is located. Overall, make sure that the area fits your everyday habits. The 10th step is to make a smart offer. When you find the right place, ask your real estate agent to run a comparative market analysis to determine what a fair price would be based on recent sales of similar homes in the area. The less interest there is, and the longer the house has been sitting on the market, the more power you'll have to negotiate. The 11th step is to get a home inspection. The home inspection is a crucial step as it will identify areas where major repairs or renovations require immediate attention, as well as any work that needs to be completed in the future. The 12th step is to shop for homeowners insurance. Homeowners insurance will help pay for damage to your property if something unexpected happens, like a fire or burglary. The 13th step is to make sure that the home is appraised. A home appraisal provides an estimate of how much a home is actually worth based on comparable sales in the area, market trends, public records, and a comprehensive inspection of the property. The 14th and final step is to close on your new home. Before closing, walk through the property with your real estate agent and make sure that everything is in order. If the seller agreed to make any repairs, the walkthrough is the time to ensure that the seller has actually completed them. As I've mentioned previously, the home buying process can be confusing. I hope to better equip you with the knowledge through this two-part episode, and hopefully you feel more confident and prepared through your purchasing process because of it. If you've enjoyed the episode, make sure you follow me and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and follow my Instagram at LatinAmericaneo to be up to date on my content. If you'd like to support me and my work, you can do so through my website, latinamericaneo.org, and clicking the support tab. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode and the 14-step guide through my Instagram. This podcast is not investment advice, and I am not a qualified licensed investment advisor. All information on here, including any ideas, opinions, views, predictions, forecasts, commentaries, suggestions, or stock picks expressed or implied, are for informational, entertainment, or educational purposes only and should not be construed as personal investment advice. conduct your own due diligence, or consult a licensed financial advisor or a broker before making any and all investment decisions. Any investments, trades, speculations, or decisions made on the basis of any information found on this podcast, expressed or implied, are committed at your own risk, financial or otherwise.